bringing God's Word today. That would encourage and strengthen us and build us up. And I want to talk today with God's help about walking in Christ. If you've got the Bible,
go with me to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Let's see what he said. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Brethren, David said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when our hearts are knit together in love, we've got that unity. If we're knit together, we can stand against Satan. I've heard of making an example like this. You take one stick and it's pretty easy to break it. You put two together and it's harder. But you get a whole handful and it's nearly impossible. And when we're knit together, then Satan can't get in. When we lay aside our ways and look to God together, all the mysteries of His ways are available to us. I went out to California and seen the giant sequoia trees, and those trees grow in little bitty groves together. And they told me, or I read one that said the roots of those trees grow out toward each other, and they intertwine and knit together so that one of those trees has got, if a wind come to blow it down, it had to pull down the other trees with it. And children of God, when we're that way and we're knit together in love, Satan can't get to us. You know, if I've heard them compare Satan to a fox, and they say you can catch a fox and chain him up, and you get off back somewhere where he can't see and watch him, and said that fella, a little fox, will try every link of that chain to see if it can find a weak link. But children of God, if we're knit together and we're loving one another like we're supposed to, thank God there won't be no weak links in God's way. Listen to what he said. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Children of God, you know there's so many teachers in the way of God now that you can hear any kind of doctrine that you want to. Paul said, how is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation. Paul told Timothy that deceivers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All but here, Paul was joying and beholding their order and their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. He told us, children of God, to be steadfast and unmovable. And he told us to be no longer children, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Thank God, let's follow the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How did we receive the Lord? Do you remember that day or night? I'm persuaded we all received Him the same way, with joy, with confidence, with boldness. If that's the way we received Him, then that's the way we're supposed to walk in Him. Oh, the love that was shed abroad in our hearts that day or that night. Do you remember how you received Him? Well, how are you walking in Him? Have you still got that joy? Are you always down and discouraged? Can't hardly make it. Have you still got that confidence? Remember how you didn't just say you believed God could do anything? Well, you knew He could. Remember how you knew without a doubt that you was going to make it. Remember the confidence that you had in the children of God and yourself. The Word of God said, cast not away your confidence, therefore, which hath great recompense of reward. Paul said that we're part of Christ's house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You remember that rejoicing? Remember that love that you had for everybody? Did you see any faults? Did you look for any faults? I know I didn't. Well, children of God, to walk in something is to continue in it. And I want to continue in Christ. I want to walk in Him as I have received Him. And somebody might say, But he told us to grow in the grace of knowledge. Amen. And if we continue to walk in him like we received him, the growing will come automatically. You might wonder how. Well, think back. When you received him, what did you do? Did you have time for anything except Christ? Was there any time to talk about and judge your brothers or your sisters? Was there any time to sit around and feel sorry for yourself and wonder if anybody loved you? When there was church somewhere, were there more important things that needed to be done, or did you manage to find the time to go to church? Did you hear and accept the Word of God when it was taught? Did you go home and analyze it, or did you go home talking about how much it helped you and how bad you wanted to move up? As you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk you in Him. Children of God, if we'll continue to walk that way and keep that desire to serve Him above everything, we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge, and our roots will grow deeper and stronger in His ways. Them thoughts that come that hinder you. Paul said you did run well. Who did hinder you? This persuasion coming not from above. Those thoughts that are from above, they're first pure and then peaceable. Then they're gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Somebody told me one time that I told them what was wrong and what they needed to do, but didn't tell them how to do it. Well, if God will help me just a little bit, I'm going to try my best with God's help to explain how to walk in the Lord like we received Him. Listen again to this sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now listen to the seventh verse. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. First thing, children, is to be rooted and built up and grounded in Him. At first, when we received salvation, Christ was the only ground on which we stood. He was the foundation. He was the rock on which we based everything. Christ was our all that day. Our friends, houses, land, wife, children, everything lost its desire to us. And like Paul, we counted all things but dung for Christ's sake. He was the object of all our love, all our hopes, all our ambition. Oh, thank God. Can't you remember that day? As Brother Hodges says about this preaching being the height of our ambition, that day, whoever we are, serving Christ was the height of our ambition. Serving Him was all we were interested in life. We didn't care about anybody, anything else. We didn't find anything that we could put before Him. He was our all. He was everything. It's like Paul said, He was the one in whom we lived and moved and have our being. He was our all in our all. Christ was everything to us. All but then, as time passed, if we're not careful, we begin to think that we know something. We know how things ought to be. We know it's not necessary to be all that tied up in religion. Paul told the Galatians, said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Children of God, we started out spiritual, and the things of the Spirit belong to them that are spiritual. And we begin to get our knowledge and our thoughts and our ways in there. We mess up, children of God. Our roots started out right, but where have they gone since then? Have we been built up in Christ or in ourselves? Are we established in the faith or in what we think or what sister or brother so-and-so thinks? Paul said, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh." If somebody told us to go put on a cowboy outfit, what would we do? I'm going to go get us a what they call a 10-gallon hat and some cowboy boots and maybe a pair of western jeans and a western shirt and maybe even a leather cowhide vest. Why? Because that's the way that we think a cowboy ought to dress. And we think that if we're going to dress up like a cowboy, these are the things that we ought to put on. Paul said to put on the Lord Jesus. And I believe we did one time. That day or that night, He came into our lives. we took him and we put him on us. Word of God taught like you got to lay off some things and that before you can put something else on. And that night we laid off all the things of the flesh and put on the things of the Lord. Now he says, as we have received him, to walk in him, rooted and built up in him. And you know, when you got that cowboy outfit on, you'd probably go look in the mirror, wouldn't you? Why? To see what you look like. And why would you do that? Because in your mind, you know how somebody in a cowboy outfit should look, and you just want to see if you conform to that image that you got in your mind, if you look like you think a cowboy ought to look. And if you didn't, you know what you'd do? You'd change whatever is necessary so that you'd look like you thought you should. If a man or a woman walks in Christ, is rooted in him, what would they do? Well, they'd do what Christ would do. They would act like he would act. Old Paul must have had him on and been walking in him, because he's the one that said that in him that he lived and moved and had his being. And if we put him on, we'll be like a mirror. When he looks at us, he'll see his likeness. I remember reading about an old boy that they said seemed like he'd done everything right. And one day, he was in the army, and one day his commander asked him, said, "Son," said, "how is it you always manage to seem to do everything right?" And he reached in his inside pocket and pulled out a picture. And he said, "Sir," said, "this is a picture of my father." And said, "every time that I go to do anything," said, "before I do it, I say, now, would I take this picture out and look at it?" And I say, "would what I fix to do in any way embarrass or dishonor my father? And if it wouldn't, then I go ahead and do it. But if it would, I just don't do it, sir." And all our children of God, that's the way we can walk in Christ. If we walk in a way that we check everything that we go to do before we do it, we say, "Lord, would this in any way dishonor you? Would it in any way cause a reproach on your name or cause my life to grow dim?" We are the light of the world, children of God. But the Word of God said, "Oh, if that light is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Don't let your light be darkness. Glory to God. Don't let your salt lose its savor. Let's go on now. Let's see. Let's begin to check and see if we've got him on and if we're walking in him, children of God, the world can see him in us. The world can see him in us. They know that we're different. And I thought about one time, I read a little story about a man, and I want you to just listen to me. I want to read it to you. Listen to what it says. There's so much in here, children of God, and think if this was you. Listen to what it said. It said, many years ago, a missionary employed a great Chinese scholar to translate the New Testament into the Chinese language. The scholar was a Confucianist and had never heard of Christianity until this missionary had engaged him. The scholar was a painstaking person and wanted to produce a splendid translation. And as he completed his work, the missionary recalled that he'd not even said any one word to him about his soul and his need of the Savior. Engaging the scholar in conversation, the missionary said, "You sure have been a great help to me. And as you translated the New Testament, has not the beauty of Christianity appealed to you? Wouldn't you like to be a Christian?" "Yeah," replied the man, it does appeal to me. It's a wonderful system of ethics. I think that if I could see a Christian, I might become interested." "But," said the missionary, "I am a Christian." "You," said the scholar, "are a Christian?" Oh no, pardon me. I don't want to offend you, but I've observed you. You're not a Christian. If I understand right, a Christian is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. But I've listened to you talk about others who are not present, saying unkind things about them. I've watched you closely in other things, and I have had to conclude that you are not a Christian. But I think that if I could see a Christian, I would like to be one." And oh, thank God tonight, children of God. You know, when I read that, I've thought so many times, that man knew nothing whatsoever about the ways of God. And if there was a man moved in next door to you, and he'd never heard of Christ, and somebody gave him a New Testament, and he lived there for 6 months, and he was an honest person that studied that New Testament and looked at it, at the end of that 6 months, could he look at you and say, my neighbor, he's one of them Christians. He lives what this thing says. Oh, thank God, children of God, it's a lot to think about tonight. Do you live what you know to live? Let's check. Let's see what we're doing. First thing Paul told us was not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. But now he does want us to conform to something. You know what that is? To Christ. If I were to start, the first thing I'd check is love. God is love. The Word of God said all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we do this, we won't talk about them because we don't want them talking about us. Somebody might say, let them talk. I know what I am. Friend, if you really think that you can stand the test of somebody hunting for faults and think they can't find them, you're just fooling yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So love is a fulfilling of the law. And do you know this love? The world's got love, but now you know the world loves its own. And it ain't no problem to love them that love you. But do you know what this kind of love will do? Why, this kind of love, children of God, will cause you to love your enemies. Thank God. Jesus told him in one place, he said, that if you just love them that love you, what have you done? Do not even the hypocrites so. And children of God, when you walk in Christ, oh, thank God, then you can love your enemy. Then, children of God, you've got on, you're walking in him and doing that that's pleasing to him. Now let's go on. The next thing would be joy. And if you joy in something, you delight in it. And the delight in something is to rejoice in it. Where's your delight at tonight? Where? What do you enjoy doing? Where's your pleasure at? David said, blessed is that man that delights in the law of the Lord. And again he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. It shouldn't be too hard to check to see if you've got this part of Christ on. Where is your delight? You know better than anybody else whether or not that it's in the Lord. The next thing would be peace. And peace is a sense of rest and contentment. It's freedom from strife, whether external or internal, and security from outward enemies as well as calm of the heart. And there was a little prayer somebody prayed one time, and listen to what it said. It said, where there's suspicion, let me sow trust. Where there's rashness, let me sow patience. Where there's rivalry, let me sow unity. And where there's misunderstanding, let me be understanding. And oh, if you've got that peace of God, it don't matter how the storms of life roll, when trouble surrounds you and you're at peace, and no matter what comes, there's no story I heard that I like about the old man and the atheist that was riding down the road, and a storm came up, and the atheist began to tremble as a lightning flash, and the thunder rolled, and the trees swayed under the great wind. And he looked over at that old boy sitting over next to him that loved God, and he said, pray, pray. He said, maybe your God will save us, pray. That old boy just sitting there said, calm. He said, I pray for the storm broke. And thank God, children of God, if we pray before the storm broke, then we know that peace is still there. It ain't hard to check yourself to see if you've got him on and see if you're walking in. You know, that peace is worth everything. One time when Jesus and his disciples was out in the boat and a storm come up, he knew that he was the Son of God. And you know what he done? He went and got him a pillow and went and laid down and went to sleep. He had that peace all about him. But all the disciples got disturbed and upset, and they come and they woke him up and they said, Master, Master, save us lest we perish. And he just got up and he said, oh ye of little faith. Where's our faith? Our peace gets disturbed. He said, oh ye of little faith. They just looked up and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and the waves, and there was a great calm come over them. And so much so that they said, What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? This was Christ, and this is the way we're supposed to walk, is in him. It ought not be too hard to check yourself and see if you've got on him, got him on up to this point. Are you walking in him? The next thing would be long suffering, which is patience, and patience endures whatever is put on it without murmuring or complaining. Oh, thank God. That gets close to home, don't it? You know what? The Word of God tells us that they which live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It didn't say might suffer or if they suffer, but it said they will. So the question is not whether that we'll be always treated right, but how we're going to react when we're treated wrong. And if we ever got that patience right, children of God, we can make it. Not only does tribulation and suffering produce patience, but patience as the fruit of the Spirit transforms the hardest trials into glory, because we can see the purpose of suffering beyond the present pain. Satan seeks to destroy our souls, but through the patience developed as God allows new trials according to our capacity, we can turn Satan's poison back upon him. You know, the true patience that God wants us to have, it's got victory. It suffers with a smile. To the person looking on, they don't seem to be any trials or suffering there. But when a long face accompanies suffering, the Spirit's not producing the kind of patience. That's something else. We're just enduring it. We're not enduring it without murmuring or complaining. Long suffering is part of the things that we need to put on if we're going to walk in Christ. Gentleness is next. Gentleness is being kind in your action toward others. Are you kind in your words and your thoughts? Kindness calls you to be courteous to others. Courtesy is kindness in action. And you know, not courtesy may not be one of the essentials for entrance into the kingdom of God, but I'll tell you one thing, it's definitely a part of gentleness and kindness. And the next thing I'd look for in that mirror would be goodness. That which is beneficial in its effect. Are the things you say and do beneficial to your brothers and sisters and to God? Is it upbuilding or tearing down? Is it encouraging or despairing? Does it make sinners want to come? Or does it make them think, if that's it, I don't want it? We're about half dressed looking in the mirror. You know what goodness is? Goodness is divine love in action. How do we look, children of God? How are you doing? Are you walking in Christ? Talking about goodness, there was an old preacher hundreds of years ago that said this. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Be good to people. If we'll be good to people, children of God, they can see Christ in our life. Faith is the next one here, but I'm going to skip it for now and come back to it. Let's look at meekness. Meekness is not being concerned with oneself at all. A man that's meek is never real high or real low. He's just sort of in the middle. He worries about other people and their welfare, whether or not they're doing good, if there's any way that he can help them. And you know, that sort of sounds like Jesus, don't it? Temperance is self-control, being moderate in all things. Temperance refers to an inward power of self-control and moderation, or freedom from extremes. And self-control or temperance is not a luxury to be added to other Christian virtues if you find it convenient to do. It's temperance is an essential quality of a child of God. Now, let's get to faith. Faith is to completely trust or rely on somebody or something. There's just no way to cover faith completely. We're to have faith as Jesus had faith. Let's talk about some of his faith. I already talked about this once, but you remember when I said about the storm was beginning to come up out on the lake. Did he get upset? No. What did he do? He looked for a pillow and went to sleep, knowing that he was the Son of God and that God would watch over him. The disciples got upset and woke him up, saying, Master, save us lest we perish. When the storms come, are we upset? Or do we have that pillow of faith? Jesus spoke, "Peace, be still," and the waters and the winds calmed. When Lazarus died and Jesus came to his tomb, he prayed and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people stand by, I said it." Do we know that he always hears us? Do we expect an answer? Are we just beating the air with uncertainty? I can just hear somebody saying, "Yeah, but that was Jesus. You don't expect me to be like him, do you?" That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about putting on the Lord Jesus and walking in it as we receive him. Being able to put him on takes faith. Matter of fact, all the joys of a spiritual life hinge on faith. As Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding." Word of God tells us that a sparrow doesn't even fall to the ground without our Father knows it. And he tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. If we can't have confidence in that kind of God and believe that he'll do what's right, how can we please him? If one of your children didn't have any confidence in you, didn't believe that what you said was true, and was always doubting you, it'd be hard to have pleasure in a child like that, wouldn't it? It definitely wouldn't please you, would it? We can try to put on all the other things and not have faith, and we just won't conform to his image, will we? I've talked quite a while, but I believe that if you listen to me, you'll know how to put on the Lord Jesus and walk in him, rooted, built up, and established in him. Children of God, stay rooted and grounded in him. The parable of the sower had the two cases where in the first they weren't rooted in the right place. They were on the rocks, and when the troubles came, they fell because they didn't have much root. And the other one was where they were choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasure of this life, and it made them barren and unfruitful. They failed to walk in Christ. So every once in a while, look into the mirror of God's Word and see if you're walking in him, and see if you've got him on. Make sure you still look right, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule in your hearts.